Welcome to the Learn, Grow, Succeed Conversations podcast, and I'm your host, Sharon Newey. If you want to be the extraordinary leader that today's organisations need, then listen now, as on this special Conversations episode, I'm joined by a long-standing training partner with Excel Communications, Ruth Sanderson. Welcome, everyone. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Ruth Sanderson, who has a long-standing relationship with Excel as a specialist leadership trainer and coach. Today, Ruth and I are going to be talking about how to create a culture shift fast. So welcome, Ruth. Great to have you with us.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
And just before we get into our culture conversation, I just wanted to invite you to perhaps to just share a few words about your experience, you know, working with Excel Communications and the kind of work that you do with Excel and clients.
Yeah, sure. So I've worked with Excel for several years now, running leadership programs, typically made up of many modules, helping the leader look at themselves, how do they get the best out of the team, get the best out of the business, and the subject that we're going to be talking about, culture. So with FMCG companies, pharmaceutical companies, to name a few, that's what basically what I've been doing.
Fantastic. And just thinking about culture then, I mean, it is a term that is used an awful lot within organisations and sometimes can have different contexts, you know, as organisations can be, you know, multicultural, multilingual. What's the context of what we're talking about when we use that term culture for this particular conversation?
So for me, culture is made up of unspoken behaviours, mindsets, social patterns, habits. Culture in a way is very unconscious. Which is why it is often difficult to manage. It's possible to manage it. And I often turn around and say to people, if you aren't managing your culture most certainly is managing you. Which is why it's very important for leaders to understand the culture they are, to understand culture, but to understand the culture that they are operating in and asking themselves the question, is it still working given where we want to go?
Yeah. And I guess, you know, as leaders, we read an awful lot and we hear an awful lot about the importance of creating, you know, the right culture in a team, in an organization. And I'm sure many listeners are wondering, you know, well, but why is, you know, culture so important? So I wonder if you could just start off by expanding a little bit for us about, you know, the importance and perhaps the benefits of creating the right culture.
So having said it's quite unconscious, it is the hidden force that drives the behaviours in the company. It therefore drives the choices or the decisions that people make to do something or not to do something. And depending upon the stage your business is in, depends upon the culture that's required to get the most out of what it is you want. So very often people can look at other organizations and go, oh, they're doing this technique, that tool, this framework, that approach, etc., etc., not actually looking at, yeah, but given the culture of that organization and the phase of growth it's in and those factors, we could take that framework but put it in a different culture, it's not going to work. I mean, if we take something very simple as the culture of a country.
Yes.
So, for example, I go out and I train in Southeast Asia. Now, this is a generalization, but you go there, if you turn around and say to somebody in a training course, do you understand all of this? You're basically asking them yes, no. Their culture there, particularly in front of trainers, isn't to turn around and say, no, I don't understand. Because to say, no, I don't understand, just two things. Number one, there's about them in with their peers. But the other thing is basically turning around and saying, you as trainer, I've just insulted you as the trainer. I have just been rude to you as the trainer. It must be my fault for not understanding, not the fact that you as trainer hasn't explained it very well. Whereas, of course, in England, we could ask if they understood and they'd turn around and say no, and they wouldn't think they were insulting you, and we wouldn't think, so we know sometimes we don't explain it so well.
Yeah.
So there is that's a facet in terms of understanding the culture and therefore how you operate to get the best out of that system. We can't just take one framework, plug it into another culture and expect to get the same results.
Yeah. Okay. And so understanding then the culture of a particular country that you might be leading a training program in is key, as well as the organizational culture that is operating in that business.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I guess when there's real success, it's getting those two blended and coming together as smoothly as possible.
It is. I mean, you know, from a training point of view, we're kind of looking at the country culture, we're looking at the company culture. Then you start and look at the subcultures within the company. But it was a leader joining an organization. And this is what you see more and more with large organizations, you know, multinational, multidisciplinary people are expatriated to different countries. And so very often one of the challenges they have, because they go, well, I worked in this company. So the company culture they're familiar with. But then they move to the other side of the world and they go, but this country culture that's also running with the company culture is sufficiently different that it can disorientate them.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And so there's some adjustments that obviously need to be made there.
It is. Yes.
Yeah. And just thinking then about the fastest way to create a culture shift, which really is kind of like the real nuts and bolts of our conversation today. I guess we're living in a world where speed is key. So what would be some of your suggestions then around fast culture shift?
Taking the time to discover the underlying thought patterns that are actually driving the culture, then you're going to know where to start.
Right.
So I said right at the very beginning, culture is derived from unspoken behaviours, mindsets and social patterns.
Mm.
But as a leader, it's like when you go in, then it's like, well, what am I observing? Now, there's the really easy stuff to observe, which is what you see around you. So what are the behaviours? So is it an open plan office or do people have offices? What's the dress like, formal, informal? Are there mini football tables? What's the art like on the wall? What's the way the phone's answered by the receptionist or you're greeted when you go into the organisation? And all of those is a surface presentation of the culture. But you don't really know until you start digging deeper whether it is the strongest part of the culture. You know, I remember visiting a client's new office space and they were showing me around and there was some artwork on the wall and I asked about it. And it turned out the only reason there was that piece of art was on the wall was because there was a white wall. It was quite a large space. And so that person went and purchased a piece of art that they liked. So it didn't necessarily fit with the culture of the rest of the organization. So you kind of, it's only by asking questions you can discover whether something really means something or not.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you go to other organizations and they've got the values on motivational posters on the wall. And again, what we have to discern is this the desired future values?
Mm-hmm.
Is this just something to stick on the wall because we're supposed to have something like values stuck on the wall? Or is it actually the values that the company is living the best it can right now?
Yeah.
And again, you only really get to sense that through conversations.
And I guess, you know, conversations, but also how you experience, you know, people operating in the business, because their values will come through in their behaviors, how they interact with each other, how they interact with external people, external stakeholders and clients and partners. I guess that's when, you know, some of those words on picture frames on a wall actually come to life, aren't they? And is that organization living and breathing the values of the culture?
Yes. Yeah. So you observe things, but yeah, you see where it works and where it doesn't. So very often, for example, you can see values working inside an organization. Mm-hmm. But as you say, it's then how do they handle suppliers? How do they handle customers? How do they handle the external facing element of the organization? And yeah. Are the values still visible then?
Yes. Following on then, Ruth, so what would you say is the fastest way to create a culture shift?
So then being aware of what your culture is, you then go, well, what do I need the culture to be in the future? So what's still work? That will give you the gap. So then you can see what's still working, what's outlived its use. What are people very strongly attached to that they are going to be very reluctant to let go of? And what's actually going to be required to support the desired culture? Mm-hmm. Now, there are times when a leader can step back, look at what's going on. In a team particularly, they can step back, look at what's going on, observe, discover, have conversations, and they could do this themselves. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's like when you're in it, you don't necessarily see everything. And so it could be that, you know, this is where an external third party is very valuable. It's one of the reasons we come in and do what we do. Yeah. Is because we sometimes I kind of joke about the fact that, you know, we ask the stupid questions, but they're not really that stupid. The odd one is. But, you know, then we have that fresh perspective. We're not quite in it as much. We don't have the same shared assumptions. Mm-hmm. And so it is in asking these questions and the observation that we can bring this fresh perspective that can then help shift the culture a lot faster than somebody trying to do it all by themselves.
So talking about the fastest way to create a culture shift, I guess is that, you know, appreciation that not all culture shifts initiatives will succeed. So perhaps, you know, it would be just worth expanding a little bit on, you know, why do many culture shift initiatives actually fail?
I guess the short answer is invariably because no one considered the culture and whether the change would be required, the successful change would require a shift in the culture. Well, I can give a few reasons why they fail. The first is there's insufficient clarity on the purpose and the vision of the company. Mm-hmm. So then everything just gets lost. The second one is that the leadership team don't think that they need to be part of the culture shift. Mm. Either sometimes they just don't think that they should be. It's like they hire in externals. I said a third party fresh pair of eyes is good, and we have the experience of how to manage all of this. So they go, oh, well, we hired you in, you're going to do everything. It's like, yeah, but you have to be part of it. And they're like, no, just go and do everything with everybody else, we're all right. And so sometimes that can happen. I have to say, when we find out that's going on, that's when I tend to walk away, because I just know it's not going to work. Sometimes it fails because it was never managed as a culture change. We've said culture is quite unconscious. It's very deep stuff. Mm. So consequently, it brings up strong reactions.
Right.
Both positive and negative. Mm-hmm. And you've got to be able to handle this. And what sometimes I've seen people do is they either put a lid on perfectly valid conversations and stifle them, or they just mandate this is going to happen. And neither is going to be successful in the long term.
Yeah.
And the other one of the other elements that means a culture shift can often fail is that culture doesn't exist in isolation. So, you know, there is also the systems and processes that need to align to the new culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for example, let's say part of your new culture says teamwork and collaboration, vitally important. But the KPIs are actually set for your function, which means you're kind of then you're not collaborating as a whole in a business. You're just looking at your function. The silo still operates.
Yes.
Or your bonus is based upon your individual performance. Well, then you're not going to get the teamwork in the way that you really should have teamwork.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got to be able to look at it holistically.
Uh-huh. Yes. And so if you're wanting to bring about change to system, process, ways of working, then I guess what I hear you saying there is, you know, the culture has to underpin that in order for that to truly, for that change to truly happen, and for the business and the organization to get the results from it. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I can, you know, I remember one project, I was actually leading it. It was related to an IT system. The IT system was perfect for what we wanted to do. There were many, many benefits to the business, to the people involved. And the project, unfortunately, ended up dying because there was a cultural shift that needed to happen that
right.
people weren't prepared to make. And the leaders didn't want to engage in that conversation either. Mm-hmm. So as it turned out, the IT system was blamed as being an inappropriate IT system rather than actually looking at, but it was the culture that needed to shift, and that wasn't happening. Therefore, the IT system then looked like it was the wrong IT system.
Yeah, because it wasn't allowed to do the job it really needed to do.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And I guess just sort of like taking that that concept then, you know, one stage further, you know, organizations, you know, will very often have visions that they're aspiring towards. Of course, as they, you know, start to move closer to that vision, then the vision can extend itself. What's the relationship between vision and culture?
It is your past and your future. So the vision is where you want to be.
Uh-huh.
The culture is keeping where you are now alive.
Mm-hmm.
If the culture fits your vision, perfect. All your ducks are lined up.
Yeah.
If, however, the vision, and you know, sometimes we use terms interchangeably, purpose, vision, strategy, you know, sometimes if that, you can have the best vision in the world, you can have the best strategy, but if the culture doesn't align itself with that, it just gets very, very messy, very, very quick.
And so I guess this idea of where vision and culture collide, then begins to hold that organization back from realizing that vision.
It does. Yes.
Okay. And are there any obvious signs, or what would be some of the early signs where, you know, perhaps an organization is at risk of vision and culture colliding?
I think probably you want to watch what the difference, the gap between what somebody says and what somebody does.
Right.
Uh-huh. Because we're creatures of habit, and culture is kind of like part of our habit. Therefore, if you have a vision, or as you start implementing the vision, people's habits aren't shifting,
mm-hmm.
that will give you some indication. You kind of have to start and think, what's the habits I should be seeing if
yes.
we were living the vision?
Right.
And start to watch for the disconnect. And the other bit is just listen to the stories that people tell and share. When somebody new joins, listen to the stories that they're told. And that, again, will give you some of an indication as to some of the hurdles you may have to overcome.
Yes. So are people's stories, entrenched in the past as opposed to new stories of new culture because of the new vision. Is that?
And also, to what extent, you see, when there's a culture shift going on, there is going to be the fact that it's like how I make decisions, how I stay safe, how I operate for success, that's shifted in this new culture. Mm-hmm. So as I'm learning how to do this new way of being, the new way of being successful, I am going to make mistakes. I am going to screw things up. It is going to take me a bit more time occasionally. And so what's the response from the leader around me? Mm-hmm. Because if the response isn't nurturing, shall we say, or empathetic, then I'm going to go back to the old culture because that's safe.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And you've touched on there, obviously, you know, I guess how a leader is being through this, cultural shift initiative and process. What would you say the role, how would you describe the role of a leader in creating successful culture shifts?
I think there are various facets. The nice thing about the programs that we run, the sort of like year-long modular programs, is that we start to explore some of these facets for leaders. Mm. So one is self-awareness. You kind of have to become aware of your behaviors, of your mindset, of your assumptions, and notice what you need to shift. You know, I said one of the reasons culture changes fail is because the leaders think they're immune from it.
Yes.
So you kind of have to look at yourself first. I said about, you know, people will make mistakes as they're moving, and the nurturing, the empathy. So as a leader, you have to be able to connect. Your emotional intelligence is key. You have to have clarity of purpose, clarity of vision, clarity of the values. You've got to be really good at acquiring the right resources so that you can actually make this happen, and removing barriers to change so that your team can get on with doing what they need to do. Quite possibly there's going to be something in terms of your style of leadership that's going to need to shift for you to lead people from A, one culture to the next, and B, lead them through the transition bit as well.
Mm-hmm. And so if you were to take all those different elements that you've described then, you know, from awareness of mindset, assumptions, the leader looking at themselves first. How might you describe how that leader then uses all those different qualities and characteristics to create a culture shift within their own team?
So within their own team, first and foremost, have a clear vision and purpose that everybody understands and commits to. Whether this is you have it, you go, you communicate it, they go, oh yeah, I want to get on that bus, or whether you co-create it together, depends on your team, you know, but you, at the end, you have to have a clear vision and purpose that everybody commits to. Have clear values and behaviors that are aligned. And then on an ongoing basis, allow time for reflection, both for the individuals to reflect on how well they are adapting to this, living it, but also as a team, how well are we adapting to this and living it? Do we need to do some course correction? Mm-hmm. And so you could turn around and say, you know, it's drawing upon their coaching skills. It's the quality of the conversation at this point will also help them shift the culture.
And I guess, you know, it's only natural to expect that, you know, perhaps some people might, you know, go off course a little bit, as long as the leader recognizes that and you know, can bring people, I guess, back on track before they get too off at a tangent, because the sooner they come back on track, the easier it will be for people, I imagine.
It's true. I mean, if you've got a clear vision that people understand and connect to, they can turn around and say, I want that. And then this is why the reflection is important, because as they're moving towards it, sometimes people realize, I thought I wanted it, or I want that vision, but given the behaviors you're asking me to do, that's actually, I'm realizing that's no longer me. So the part of the conversations is, people are going to go off track whilst they're trying to work it out. But sometimes also people arrive at the decision that this place is no longer going to be for me. It's asking me to change in a way that now I feel I'm being inauthentic. Mm-hmm. And so there is somewhere else for me to be. Yeah. And that's what a leader needs to manage. Manage the culture shift, but manage the team so that the vision and the purpose and the values are still met. And people who aren't a fit and a match anymore are supported in finding somewhere else where they are the perfect fit and a match.
Yeah, yeah. And so that would be in the context of, you know, a leader, you know, creating that shift within a team. What about if we go a little bit wider, where it might be, you know, department, you know, perhaps in, you know, yeah, I know that you and also, you know, XL Communications and the wider team, you know, work with organizations, you know, that are multi-site across the globe. So what about if you are creating a shift, you know, in a department or on a site or across an organization? Any sort of key things for people to consider there?
In essence, what you're doing what you would do in a team, but on a larger scale. Now, there are tools and frameworks that allow you to get some insights as to where you are right now, where the low-hanging fruit is, and help you work out what's the best path to navigate you from where you are, where you want to be. And as I said, it also, because it's on a much, much larger scale, we very definitely then need to also explore the sustainability of the culture shift. So this is where systems, recruitment, the leadership, the relationships, the way you do learning, development, growth, product, you have to look at the whole of that, and that becomes more important. So whereas, for example, if you were going to do a culture shift in a team, how long would that take? You could start and see fruits of your labor in 90 days. Mm-hmm. You start and want to do that on an organizational context, let's say it's 1,000 plus people, then you're looking at, say, a year and a half, something like that. You're looking at a longer time frame as you make it bigger and bigger.
Right. And so, you know, is there value then in perhaps looking at a staged sort of process where you might introduce a culture shift, you know, across a department, test it, fine tune it before you then might then, you know, expand that? Is there value in that? Or is it about, if we're going to do this, we need the whole organization to come with us at the same time?
The organization needs to know where it wants to go and as a whole, what needs to shift.
Uh-huh.
How you implement, so this is what I said about the best path to take you from where you are or where you want to be. It is about evolving the culture. And it also depends on what are the circumstances driving the culture change, because that can also indicate, so do we do it in a smaller channeled piece? Mm-hmm. Do we have the luxury of doing it like that? Or do we need to go, right, okay, it's a more blanket, we're going every level
yes.
approach?
Yeah. It's a good sort of like... I often think of it as a trainer answer of it depends, but the reality is that it does depend, doesn't it?
You know, because it does.
What I'm saying is it very much is dependent upon the circumstances where the organization is at, what the vision is, what the goals are, and what the time frame is that organization has, you know, in order to make some of those changes.
Yes, that's yeah. it.
Okay. So if you were to summarize, you know, some key points for, you know, a leader listening to the podcast around the keys to success, how might you summarize it?
Does your team, department, organization, but if we sort of like bring it close, does your team have a clear vision and purpose that everybody understands and commits to? Mm-hmm. Do you have clear values and behaviours that you live? And do you allow time for reflection? And are there quality conversations happening between you as a leader and the people in the team, but also within the team in and of itself. And I would say if you look at that, if you can tick all the boxes, fantastic. But if you can't, then that will give you some indication of where you need to start and pay attention to.
Okay. And I imagine that, you know, the quality of those conversations and the content of those conversations give you clues about, you know, are they reflective of the culture that I'm wanting to realize this vision or not, as the case may be?
Yes.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, Ruth, thank you for that sort of whistle-stop tour of culture and how to create culture shifts. Lots of ideas and suggestions there for people. Really appreciate your time, and look forward to perhaps talking to you in more detail about that when we get together at some point in the future. So thank you for your time. It's been really valuable having you as our guest today.
You're welcome.